pastor. He's a blessing to me and my family. I've got to be in a few meetings with him, and I appreciate the preaching he does. Amen. All right, the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, I'm going to look at verse 10 today. That'll be my verse that I'll look at. And then we're going to preach a little bit as God directs our heart. Now, my introduction will take longer to preach than the message will. So, you just need to kind of bear with me a little bit today as we'll look at God's Word a little bit. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 10. And I'll do something a little unusual than what I normally do in preaching. I'll not mention the title of my thought till I give you the introduction. I want to lay a little groundwork before I get to my thought today and try to help us. I've come to get some help from the Lord. Amen. I believe He's got it available if we'll just pull up to His table and receive what He has for us. I don't know about you, but I go to church that I might leave different than the way it came. I don't want to just go through the routine of having church, but I want to worship Him and I want to receive His Word and want to be more conformed to His image before I leave. Amen. And so you pray the Lord to touch us. He don't. I promise you, I'll get out of the way and not hinder things. He'll touch us. We'll preach a little bit. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 10. The Bible said, on the 23rd day of the 7th month, He sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry at heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, His people. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You, Lord, today for Your mercy and for Your grace. Lord, I thank You for that wonderful day that You reached down the muck in my sin and lifted me out, washed me in Your precious blood, wrote my name in Your book. And I thank You and I praise You for it today. Oh, Father, I pray for a little while You'll strengthen my voice and my body. Give me unction of the Holy Ghost that I might preach the preaching that You bid us today. Lord, we ask You for that soul near as hell in this place. May the Holy Ghost, I convict them and draw them out of the place of salvation. Lord, help us as Your people. Lord, I don't know the needs, but You do. I pray Your will be done here today. But above everything, may You be magnified, high and lifted up in this place. And what You do, we'll praise You and we'll thank You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I read a verse to you that is at the conclusion of the dedication of Solomon's temple. He's had this great service. You study your Bible and you find back in 1 Chronicles 28, it was in Solomon's father David's heart to build this temple. But God told David, you can't do it. You've been a man of war. You've shed blood. You're a bloody man and you will not be allowed to build it. But instead of David getting mad, pitching a fit on God, he just began collecting material that Solomon would have it to build this great temple where the ark of God would have a permanent resting place, a home for the ark of God. And as David dies, Solomon ascends the throne as king. I prays for wisdom and God gives it to him. And we find in chapter 3 of 2 Chronicles, the Bible said, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord. He began to take the material his father had set aside for the building and got him some men to oversee the work. And they began to build this great, magnificent house for the Lord. And as they built it, days go by, months go by. And then in chapter 5, we find that the work is finished. And when the work is finished, Solomon calls Israel together for this dedication service. Now, there's four things I'll look at quickly that they do in this dedication service. In chapter 5 and verses number 11 through verse 14, we find they had some praise and worship. The choir assembled together. The musicians came and got their instruments tuned up. And the Bible said that the singers and the musicians were as one. What'd they sing, preacher? They sang, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endure forever.
Hey, you can't get any better singing than bragging about how good that your God is. We're not here moping. We're not here pouting. But we're serving the true and the living God. And He is good. He can't be anything else but good. Amen. Hey, He's the God that said, let there be and there was. He's the God that saves you. He's the God that blesses you. He's the God that keeps you. And He's a good God today. Oh, there's nobody here, if you be honest, would say the Lord's mistreated you. He's never done you wrong. He's never been bad. He can only be good. Amen. There was some praise and worship. Now, what they call praise and worship days, contrary to the book. Amen. We ain't here to boogie. Amen. We're not here to let the flesh get loosed on us. Amen. But we're here to magnify and glorify the name of the Lord today. Well, there's praise and worship. Then there was a Solomon made, secondly, a proclamation. We'd call it preaching. Amen. Even Solomon knew we need to hear what God had to say. I like now, I'm not going to deal with his message, but I will read you one verse in 2 Chronicles 6:1. Here's how he started his sermon. He said, then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Amen. Hey, it ain't all sunshine and roses. You'll not kick your heels up every day. You won't feel like shouting every day. There's some darkness comes. There's some hard times come. A sickness comes. Problems come. Financial difficulties come. Oh, but God said, when it gets dark, there'll be some light. And because God said, He'll dwell in the thick darkness. Hey, by the way, there's some things you can't see in the dark. Amen. Hard to see yourself. Hard to see anybody else when you're in the dark. But there's also some things that only come out in the dark. The heavens are seen very clearly. And the moon and the stars are seen in the dark. And when you can't see them any other time, there's some things God will show you in the dark. Amen. Oh, He preached to them. Then we find in chapter 6 and verse 12 through 42, as Solomon began to pray. Now what a prayer he prayed. This prayer could be broke up in several. It started in praise. He said in verse 14, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in heaven, no in earth. If you got another God like Him, pull Him out. I'd like to take a look at it. I want you to know you don't. There's not another God like the God that you and I serve that lives on the inside of us. Oh, friend, it started with praise. And then we find not only he asked for blessing. In verses 16 through 21, he said, Lord, would you look this way? Would you come this way? That's what we did before we come to church today, wasn't it? Lord, would you just visit with us? Would you just look our way? Would you come by and show up and show out? There is a difference. He always shows up. He can't help it. He lives in you. He lives in me if you're saved. But He don't always manifest Himself. Sometimes He's grieved. Amen. But Solomon said, Lord, would you look this way? Would you bless your house today? Oh, now that it's also a prayer of intercession. He said if they sin, if they just look back this way. Whew, I find that interesting that he included that in his prayer. He didn't even know that there'd be a man named Daniel. Amen. He said if they sin, you have to carry them away captive. If they just look back towards your house. Well, some didn't know there'd be an old boy named Daniel go to his house 3 times a day and throw the windows open, looking back toward that temple in Jerusalem. Hey, some was a praying for him before he ever draw breath in this world. Amen. He also prayed for the stranger. In verse 32 and 33, those that are without the covenant, those that are not a Jew. Hey, look up here at me a second. That's us. That's us, just old Gentile dogs. You understand, before Calvary, we were without God and without hope. God wasn't looking our way. Oh, but thank God, thanks to Calvary, I'm now Jew and Gentile. I can get saved and enter the family of God. Hey, I'm glad for the stranger I'm being allowed in. Amen. Whoa, and he prays, and then he concludes his prayer. Then, and we see fourthly in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, that the power of God falls. The Bible said that fire falls and consumes the offering, and the Lord's house filled with glory, and they bow their face on the pavement and worship the Lord. I sure like going when the power's in the house. We was fellowshiping with your pastor the other day, and I mentioned this. I've been around this saint a while, and I've been in when the power's been real good and strong. I've seen some things that make average independent Baptists nervous. I've seen folks shout till they've been overcome by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, oh, ain't you a Baptist? I am. I'm a Holy Ghost filled Baptist. Amen. I like the old-fashioned style of shouting and worship. It's all right to run. It's all right to jump. It's all right to shout and wave your hand. I say, thank God. I like it when the power of God fills the house. Oh, we find in this service as praise and worship and preaching and prayer, and the power of God was evident. And that brings us to our verse. Again, in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 7, he said, on the 3rd and the 20th day of the 7th night, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. They went home different than the way they came. I want to preach just a minute, God helping me, on how will you return home. Amen. Some of you, I think, don't realize what you've got here. Are you listening to me right now? I mean, God's blessed y'all here at Liberty Baptist Church, and that you know to come. And boy, God's met with you time and time again. And sinners have been saved, and backsliders got right. And you've been helped when you're down and out. Oh, and the preaching's great, and the singing's great. Hey, but I'll tell you, if we ain't careful, we'll leave the same way that we came. Amen. There's a great danger of that. We are living in the Laodicean part of the church age. Amen. There's still some Philadelphia left. I believe that. But by and large, that spirit of Laodicea has crept into our churches. We're lukewarm. Not cold, not hot. Lukewarm. Amen. Here's the saddest part to me of the whole thing of the Laodiceans. They said we have need of nothing. I've been traveling 5 years as a full-time evangelist after 20 years of pastoring. And I'm preaching a lot of folk that don't think they need a thing. That's why we're not having revival in America. It is not Washington's fault. It is not the capital Atlanta's fault for Georgia. Hello? You're setting in the problem. Amen. We're leaving just like we come. Over and over and over again. Hey, how will you, ain't talking to your neighbor now, how will you return home today. Amen. Can I say first of all to the sinner, how will you return home? You came in here under the guilt of sin. That's what's weighing you down. You come in under the condemnation of God. I get told a lot, you're just out trying to condemn folk. No, I'm not. I'm glad for John chapter 3. I'm glad for 16 and 17. Amen, that He loved the world so that I'm glad didn't Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. But the chapter don't end with verse 17. Verse 18 says, you're condemned already. Oh, you believe not. Amen. You come in here condemned before God. Amen. I remember when I was lost. And by the way, the only way you ever get saved is first see yourself lost. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. I can take the spot that got saved, sure can. But I can take the spot that got lost. Getting lost is as real to me as getting saved. Amen. Sitting in a little Sunday school class. That tears some of the brethren's nerves up. That's where I got lost. I didn't get saved that morning, Pastor. But I got lost as a teacher. Had her Bible in her hand walking around that table with boys and girls and a weeping. Tears are dripping off her cheeks. And she said, children, the only prayer God hears of a sinner is that of repentance. And for the first time in my life, I saw I was lost. I saw Jesus had died for me as the one needing to be saved. Oh, yes. I tell you, didn't get saved that morning. Months went by under conviction. Well, I'm glad for that Tuesday night. In the spring of 1980, the Holy Ghost come and got a hold of me again. I called upon the name of the Lord, and I got saved. Now, I was only 10, didn't know a lot of theology, but I knew enough to get saved. Amen. All I know is this. I felt something go off, and something came in. I didn't know what happened, but I knew I got saved. I ain't doubted that. Knew God saved me and He changed me. I found out later is that guilt of sin rolling away that I felt removed. What I felt moving in was the Holy Ghost taking that permanent residence. Amen. Oh yeah. You see, I was different. Amen. You can leave different today, sinner. You don't have to leave lost. I tell you what we're needing again. We're needing old time conviction to fall in the church house again. The kind they can't shake off when they go out the doors. Kind to go home with you. Chase you around the house. Amen. Oh, sinner, will you return home like you came? Or will you leave out of here different being saved? Secondly, you that are saved, how are you returning home? You come in full of apathy. You just come out of obligation. You just here going through the motions. Is that how you're going to go home today? Hey, listen to me. It's a choice whether you worship or not. As a young preacher, I've been preaching 30 years now. And as a young preacher, I took my first church. I was 21 years old, young and dumb. That's about the most I could say about it. And I, as a pastor, and I preached one Sunday, and it was dead, locked down. I know some preachers always hit home runs. Sometimes I don't get in the batter's box. Amen. It's dead that morning, and we went to my wife's grandparents' house, and her papa is an old mountain preacher. He's this year celebrating 66 years in the ministry. Him and his wife have been married 68 years now. Papa's got the real deal. It's liable to get on him while he's walking through Lowe's. And he'll go to singing and preaching and shouting and embarrass you real good. I've seen him at family get-togethers. God move on him. He'll go to preaching to his grandchildren. Amen. Years ago, them, one of them ball stars came out with AIDS and has a bragging on him on the TV for Sunday dinner. Oh, friend, he cut her off, went to preaching on the wages of sin. Amen. An old-time preacher. How's a griping and growling about my service being dead? And he let me talk for a while. Then he looked at me and said, son, I want to tell you something. I don't go to church to get tied down. I go to get loose. Amen. That day the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, he's right. And from that day to this day, I don't go to see what the congregation's going to do. If you like to get with me, it'd be all right. But if you don't, I've come to get in this thing. I don't want to leave like I came. I want to worship him. I want to magnify him. I want him to work in my heart and change my life. Hey, I don't want to leave like I came. Well, I ain't felt nothing today. Whoever told you had to feel something? I've been feeling something the last several days. Wound up at the doctor's this morning. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matter of fact, let me say this. You said this babble. They shouted before things happened most of the time. They shouted before the walls of Jericho fell. There's a shouting in the prison before the doors flung open and the chains fell off. Amen. You say that means you're a hypocrite. No. That means you're on the crap. No. It's paid in full. I'm a shouting on fact. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. I serve a Savior on the throne. I serve one that changes lives. I serve one that's able and a dead seed and a bodily above all we can ask or think. I'm worse than him. Amen. Oh, don't want to leave like a cave. Some of you come in here with problems. You're burdened down. Boy, you got your bag of trouble with you today. You come dragging in. The devil's beat you down. The flesh has beat you down. And the world's beat you down. Some of you might even come to the altar. Bring your bag. And you'll pull out and name all that's bothering you to the Lord this morning. But when you say amen, you reach and grab it all back up and shove it back in your bag and throw it on your shoulder and out the door you'll go. I tell you what you need to do today. You need to throw your bag. You need to cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. I was preaching for years before I really grabbed what Isaiah 9 was saying. He said the government shall be on His shoulder. One shoulder. I mean, brother, a long time realize He can carry all the government on one. That let me know He's got one more open I can climb up on. Amen. I can unload on it. Great God in heaven. I can unload all my care on Him. I don't have to be a pack mule. I don't have to bear the burdens alone. I can cast it upon Him. For He cares for me. Oh yes. Some of you may be troubled with a child or a maid or a financial trouble. A sickness has come. Problems have come. You don't have to leave like you came. Oh, friend, they left, went in their tent glad and merry at heart. They didn't leave mad and sad. They left glad and merry at heart. Can I tell you something? I can go home today glad. I got to come to church. Amen. I've been helped by just being here. You can't get out there once you get in the house of God. Amen. How will you return on? You blamed everybody and everything for why you're not getting help while you're at church. It's your fault. It's your fault. Not somebody else's fault. It's your fault. I didn't come to watch. We'll leave out. Somebody will say this to me, Pastor. Did you see what they was wearing? No. Did you know what they... No, this morning I can only barely hear out of one ear, and it ain't too good. So I've just been getting bits and pieces of what's being said here today. But you know what I have been receiving? Been receiving word from home, on the inside, that all is well in the glory world and this one. That He's still in control and He still can help me if I'll just let Him help me. Amen. Oh, friend, how will you return home this morning? You come in one way, how you going out? Now, I ain't talking about a quick fix. Hey, a lot of folk act like there's some kind of quick fix. There ain't no quick fix. But there's a starting place of getting help. Right here around the old-fashioned altar, there's help from the Lord. Sometimes you pray and the answer comes instantly and things will change. Sometimes you pray and it might take a while. I've seen it several years ago. God, we was going through a storm, going through a problem, and I was got to praying. God gave me a verse out of Genesis 18 where old Abraham's interceding for Lot. And here's what was said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And I just grabbed a hold of that verse. I guess from there, probably 2 years, a little better went by. And it wasn't always in our favor. But there's a day when He turned it around. And He brought that verse back and He said, "I did right." Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there's help in the house of God if you just come get it. How will you return home? Simple thought, I know that. But you'll leave knowing what I said. Because you need to be confronted with how you're coming and going to the house of God. We can get so used to what's going on around church that we take it for granted. You hear me? Every place ain't like this. If you could follow your pastor on a bus, if you'd follow me on a bus, just go 30 days on the road with us, when that bus brought you back in this parking lot, you began bailing out of that bus, you'd fall down and kiss the parking lot. And when you come in these doors, you'd come in shouting, rejoicing, and singing, and worshiping. You'd be glad for what God's gave you. Amen. How are you going home today? Only you know that answer. How are you going home? Father, I pray you take the message now. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, you sure have been good to us. I bless your name for everything you've done. And everything that you're going to do. Help now this invitation, Lord. Save sinners, stir your people. And all you do, we'll praise and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed, the pastor's coming.